Good evening tonight. In your Bibles, Psalm 63, please, is what I want us to move into tonight. We want to read it together tonight. Psalm chapter 63, in just a moment, I'll begin the reading there. Psalm 63 from the English Standard Version. Psalm 63, good evening and welcome to all who are here, especially perhaps to those that are visiting with us tonight. If you are a visitor, we say, and I say to you, welcome. We are glad that you are with us tonight. Psalm 63, I believe, to be written by David. Exactly at what point in David's life he penned these words, we cannot be sure with great, great confidence. If I were pushed, I would say that this is a time in David's life when he is running from his own son Absalom. During Absalom's revolt, and David is on the run. Others see this as a time when David is at a time in his life when he was on the run from King Saul. And in either case, whether David's running from Saul or running from Absalom, David's at a difficult point in his life. He's on the run. He finds himself in a deserted place. He's alone. It's him and his God. This is a troubled time for David. It's interesting as you read Psalm 63, when it would be, if this is a time when David is on the run from his own son, this would be a time in David's life that he could have been controlled by thoughts of failure as a father. And all fathers have times where we fail. And it would be easy for David to be at this point, and considering the trouble that his own son had brought to his life and continued to bring his life, for David to have coming up in his mind these images and these thoughts that he had been a failure. But David's not contemplating failure. He's contemplating the goodness of God. It would have been easy at this time in David's life for David to be dominated and overcome and controlled by fear and discouragement as he's on the run, to be complaining before God, doubting even the presence and power of God. That's in none of this psalm. David is doing none of this. Let's read the psalm together, Psalm 63. From the English Standard Version, writes David, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. God, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king, says David, shall rejoice in God. And all who swear by him shall exult. For the mouths of liars will be stopped. David says, O God, you are my God. You see how personal David makes this? David says, God, you are my God. You belong to me. You are my God by covenant and consent. Elohim. God, you are strong. You are power. You are my sovereign God. You have defended me. You have protected me. You will continue to do that. You are my God. And I understand when we read, especially from Jesus' prayer that teaches us to pray in Matthew 6, and Jesus prays, "Our Father." And there is a sense in which we ought to appreciate as the people of God, as a family in Jesus Christ, whereby we can call rightfully so God Father. There is to be a sense when we come together that we, in one voice, with one heart, say, "Our Father." But I need to see God as my Father. And that's how David saw his God. David's relationship with God was one of intimacy and closeness because of how he viewed God. David would say, "God loves me. God cares for me. God hears me when I cry to Him. God is aware of me. He's aware of my situation." Have you ever got to a point in your life where you thought because life was difficult for you, as it was David, and where you were in life, have you ever been tempted to think, "Well, God's concerned about other people and God's been caring for other people, but God, what about me?" David was able to deal with difficult points in his life because of God, who is his source of help and strength. And David said, "God, because you are my God, I will earnestly seek you." There's a reason I read from the English Standard Version, because it translates this: "I will earnestly," David says, "seek you, God. My soul thirsts for you." Because of the relationship David sustained with his God, David was earnestly seeking God. Oh, it's easy to be seeking God when everything's going fine in your life. Isn't it easy to be seeking God when health is good, when bills are paid? But David said, "God, because you are my God, strong and mighty, I seek you, I earnestly seek you, and I long for you, not just in the good times, but at all times." I'll tell you, David was seeking to commune with God and to worship God and to draw near to God. What about me? Do I only worship God? Do I only commune with God? Do I only enjoy the richness of the fellowship with God when everything is good in my life? And speaking about drawing near to God, you know, you like to spend most of your time with people that mean the most to you. Isn't it the ones that you love the most that you long for the most? That's the case with me. And I'll just be honest, and I think we can see it in the Psalms. The reason some who claim to be Christians do not thirst for God, do not long for God, is because maybe they do not love God. Not like David did at this point in his life. You see, David had seen the power and the glory of God. There was no doubt in David's mind that God was worthy of his love. There was no doubt in David's mind that God was worthy of his adoration, that God was worthy of his praise, because David had seen the power and glory of God. Life is filled with ups and downs, with highs and lows. And especially in the lows, and especially in the down times in life, we need to go back and revisit what we know about God. So David said, "My lips will praise you." And David's on the run. And life is hard. But David said, "God, you are my God. And so my lips will praise you. David, your lips will praise God at a difficult point in your life. How do you explain it? And David would go back to what he knew about God. Your steadfast love, God. Other translations, your loving kindness, David said, to me is better than life. You see, when we behold God, as David beheld God, when we contemplate the characteristics of God, when we properly consider God's steadfast love and His power and His glory, like David, at all times in life, we should be moved, I should be moved to praise Him. But here's my point. Getting us to verse 4, let's focus here. David says, so I will bless you. So I will bless you. I will bless you, God, as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. I will bless you. And in your name I will lift up my hands. You don't lift up hands, metaphorically speaking. You don't lift up hands in worship and in adoration to a God in whom you do not delight. Because David delighted in God, David, even at the difficult points in his life, wanted to. He sought after. He longed to draw near to God. Drawing near to God, to David, was not something that you do only at a certain time of the week, day of the week, for a temporary point in time. There's a song that we sing in the supplement entitled, In His Presence. I will tell you, this is a new song to me. A song we've been singing in our high school devotions, a song that we've sung a few times in our monthly singings. Listen to some of the words in this song, In His Presence. In His presence, the presence of God, there is comfort. In His presence, there is peace. When we seek the Father's heart, we will find such blessed assurance in the presence of the Lord. But David said, as long as I live, I will bless you. As long as I live, I will worship you. You know why so many of you worship as a chore? Why so many of you worship as an exercise in boredom? Why even too many Christians come into the presence of God out of ought, rather than out of a spirit of awe? They don't see God the way David saw God. They don't delight in God the way David delighted in God. David knew that without God, he was nothing. David realized that he was absolutely and totally dependent upon God. Others who could not give him strength, but God was his strength and portion. Others who would desert him and turn their back on him, but not God. Not as long as David was loyal to God. David said, My soul, verse 5, will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. I think of a buffet line. You ever been to a buffet? I'm talking about one of those buffets that's got multiple items, all of which you love, and you're just going down the line and you're deciding, I want a lot of this, and I want a lot more of that, and I'll take a lot more of that. And you hadn't even gotten to the dessert bar. And by the time you're through, you push back from the table with an ah. And you're satisfied. David's not talking about physical food. He's talking about his God. And he says, my soul is satisfied as with fat and rich food. And so my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When? David said, when I remember you, God. When I remember you upon my bed and I meditate on you in the watches of the night. For God, you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. You see, when David remembered, and when David meditated on God, that God had been his help. That God had not in the past turned his back on David. That God in the past had not deserted David. That God had in the past showed himself strong. And God had proven to David his steadfast love. And when David would lay and look at the stars and meditate on God and remember God, David said, I'm satisfied. And so my mouth will praise you. I have a blessing, and I'm not saying this just because my wife is here, but I have a blessing that other men do not have. He who finds a good wife finds a good thing. And I delight in her. But not like I delight in God. And I love her. But my hope is not placed in her. My hope is in God. And I'm not standing here in any way trying to say to you, if you are hurting, that I know something about your hurt. That I know what it's like to be married to someone or to have once been married to someone that turned their back on you and deserted you and hurt you. But I want you to understand that it's not until we find our soul satisfaction in God will we understand true peace and joy. David said, I'm satisfied. I'm full. This is where life has taken me. This is the turn where life has led me. But I can be here, and I can be hurting, and yet be satisfied. Because God is my hope and my strength. You see, David's thoughts of God were abiding thoughts. David said, I meditate. This was not a every once in a while kind of casual thought about God. David said, I meditate. I remember. David had abiding, regular, continual thoughts that were centered in God. Maybe one of the reasons Maybe one of the reasons some Christians are not satisfied with God on Sunday is because they haven't been thinking of God the previous week. God is not someone that we think about only on Sunday for an hour or two and forget about on Monday and Tuesday and the rest of the week. How could that be so? And claim that I love God with all of my heart, soul, strength, and mind. God is not someone that I consider only in times of trouble, but ignore when times are good. How could that be so? And I honestly say I love God with all of my heart, soul, strength, and mind. How much time does God occupy in your thoughts? Could it be said of me that I truly meditate on God? Could it be said of me that I meditate on His Word? That I long for Him and so I long for His Word? Could it be said of you that you long for God, that you long for His Word, that you think about God when you drive to work on Monday, that you think about God when you're washing the dishes on Tuesday, that you think about God? When your heart is heavy and when your heart is rejoicing, is God ever in my thoughts? He should be. He needs to be. Not because He needs me, but because I need Him. And I love that David says, "My soul clings to you." I think it's the old King James Version that says, My soul runs fast after you." Well, that didn't get it done for me. But when I hear David say, "God, my soul clings to you," does your soul cling to God? I love the song, "Near to the Heart of God." There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace near to the heart of God. Are you near to the heart of God? Are you seeking after God? Do you daily look for opportunities to approach God in praise and in prayer? To let God speak to you through His Word, and you communicate with Him in prayer. Make it habit in your life if it's not. Make it a regular portion of your day if it's not. Because the gray, difficult, dark days will come. And it's in those times and periods in our life we must go back to what we know and who is sure and steadfast and strong. And we may even find ourselves crying out as David did at one point in his life, "God, do not take away from me your abiding presence." David understood he needed God. And so do we. "On bended knee," says the songwriter, "I come. With a humble heart, I come. Bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to you, as I pledge my love anew. I worship you in spirit. I worship you in truth. Make my life a holy praise unto you." Are your hands holy? Are your hands holy? Hands that are free from sin. James says if we'll draw near to God, James gives us a promise, God will draw near to us. But God draws near to those who draw near to Him with hands that are clean, holy. Are your hands holy? Have you come into the presence of God today to adore Him, to praise Him, to tell Him how much you love Him, to contemplate His steadfast love, to remember the giving of His only Son? It makes possible the forgiveness of your sins and the hope of eternal life. And when we do that and draw near to God, there will be times in worship that we pledge love anew. And we say to God, You have not been, God, the delight of my heart. And I have not found satisfaction in You. And I repent of that. And I give You my love and I give You my life. Because You're worthy of both. And if you're here tonight and you're not right with God, God loved you so much. God has proven to you His love by sending His only Son. You can only be cleansed of your sins. You can only have eternal life through Jesus, God's Lamb, your Savior. And if you're here and you have not come confessing your faith in Jesus Christ with a desire to repent of sin in your life and with a heart of remorse and with a heart of faith, come in obedience to the gospel by being immersed in water, baptized to have your sins washed away. We want to help you to do that tonight. And if you're here as God's child and there's sin in your life, turn from that. Repent of it. Take it before God with a heart of contrition, with godly sorrow and remorse, repenting of those sins. And God has given us and has given you a promise that He will forgive. He will cleanse. He will reconcile you to Himself. And if we can help you in that spiritually tonight, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?